Hi, everyone. So you didn't hear that I was speaking, I guess. I don't know. Before I start, could we go to our Father in prayer? Father, I thank you for the opportunity to speak for you. I pray that you'll use me as your mouthpiece and let your words, your thoughts, your truths come to the surface, not mine. Father, may we all glorify you in our lives and just strive to ever keep ourselves pointed in the right direction, Father. Help us that we might glorify you in all things. It's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. I'm kind of speaking to the choir here, I think. But nonetheless, the older I get, the more I know, the more I strive to serve God. In my waning years, the more I realize how much I don't know and how at times, you know, this Christian life can seem like a roller coaster ride. And yet I'm supposed to be one of the strong ones, one of the pillars, you know. And so you think, gee, if that's my ride, how's everybody else doing, you know, because they're looking to me. And that's overwhelming, folks. It really is. Anyway, let's see if we can benefit from this. I'm talking to myself here. If some of it falls off and helps you, that's a good thing. In the Old Testament, I read that the Israelites were wandering through the desert on their way to the Promised Land, and God fed them by providing the people with manna. What is manna? They kind of tell what it is. It's not steak and lobster, but each day except on the Sabbath, God sent this miraculous food. When the dew fell upon the camp in the night, the manna fell with it, says Numbers 11:9. The people were instructed to gather as much manna as they wanted, for it would never run out. Yet, other than the day before the Sabbath, the people were not allowed to stock up on manna. Now, do you understand that? They were to gather just enough for their daily needs. Then, the day after the Sabbath, the people returned and started collecting again. Okay? God taught his people in this way to trust him. They relied upon him. I mean, this was their literal physical existence. Are you worried? Are you fearful? Are you uncertain about the days ahead? Is there something in your life that you just feel is dragging you down? Is there a situation that's unfair? These are just a few of the troubles that I think we bear. And the list would really grow extensive if we were really truthful with ourselves and really truthful with one another. You know, I've said this before, we put on our happy Christian face and everything's cool, you know, and then we go home and, oh my God, how am I going to make it through another day? Well, maybe if we shared that with our brothers and sisters, that would help us make it through another day. Just a thought. As God wanted his people to trust him in the desert, I believe that God is saying to you today, trust me. I want you to trust me. Right now, he is successfully working things out in your behalf. I guarantee you that. God did not lead his people out of Egypt for them to perish in the wilderness. God has not led you this far in your journey just to leave you stranded or to give up on you. The only person that's going to give up on you is you. God won't. I shouldn't say that. Maybe other people will fail you. And that's another lesson. But trust and believe that he is with you. God answers your questions. Matthew 7:7 says, ask, and then it answers, and it will be given to you. Seek, and you will find. Knock, and the door will be opened to you. There are answers that God gives us in his word. Pray for his help and his guidance. Continue moving forward toward the goal, doing the best that you can to live a life of truth, honor, and excellence. This will glorify God, and God will honor that in your life. I've not seen the movie Braveheart. How many have seen it? That's a class. Oh, my goodness, I'm ashamed. That's about, what's his name? Robert the Bruce, is it? Huh?
William Wallace.
William Wallace, that was his partner. Am I right? Okay, the Bruce was there. Well, I knew the movie had something to do with him, but I've not seen it. But I stumbled across a story, allegedly, about Robert the Bruce. He's a Scotsman who lived from 1274 until 1329. Robert the Bruce was a young soldier at this time in 1306. He found himself in a terrible battle. The enemy was soundly defeating this young man's army, and he and his comrades found themselves hastily retreating in fear for their life. The enemy gave chase, and he ran hard, and he ran fast, and he was full of fear and desperation, and soon found himself cut off from his comrades. You know, I don't know if you've ever run for fear of your life, but boy, adrenaline is ain't nothing like it. It's an amazing commodity. Well, Robert the Bruce eventually came upon a rocky ledge containing several caves, and knowing that the enemy was near and he was exhausted from the chase, he chose to hide there in one of the caves. After he crawled in, he fell to his face in the darkness, anxiously weeping for God to save him and protect him from his enemies. When he looked up from his desperate plea for help, he saw a spider beginning to weave a web at the entrance of this cave. Have you ever heard this story? Okay. Well, as if in a trance, he watched the delicate threads being slowly drawn across the mouth of the cave. The young soldier pondered its irony. He thought to himself, I ask God for protection and deliverance, and he sends me a spider. How can a spider save me? His heart hardened at that moment. Knowing the enemy would soon discover his hiding place, he prepared for the likelihood of that. Soon, he did indeed hear the enemy as they combed the area looking for those in hiding. And finally, an enemy soldier cautiously approached the cave's entrance. The young Robert the Bruce crouched in the darkness. His only hope was to surprise the enemy in a last-ditch effort to save his own life. His heart was pounding wildly out of control. As the enemy carefully moved forward to enter the cave, he came upon the spider's web, by now fully strung across the cave's opening in several directions. The soldier backed away, calling to a comrade, there can't be anyone in here. They would have broken this spider's web. Let's move on. Years later, another young man who his name is unknown, but he wrote about this ordeal saying, "Where God is, a spider's web is as a stone wall. Where God is not, a stone wall is as a spider's web." I love that line. Where there is God, a spider's web is as a stone wall. Have you ever earnestly prayed for something? I mean, things are really sour in your life. And you're earnestly praying only to have God answer you with something completely off the wall, like a spider. Before you can see the results of his answer, you shout back, "That's not what I need." Maybe, just maybe, like this young soldier, you're confronted with an unforeseen challenge. You don't know what to do next. Life's become complicated, and you feel like throwing your hands up in the air and say, "I've had enough. I give up. I've had it." If the hand of God could direct a tiny spider to protect a soldier in the heat of a battle, think about all the ways and the means that God can use to help you. Regardless of what has taken place, God's good plan for you, he has one for each of us, his good plan for you has not been disregarded. You need to remember this. Do not be discouraged or give up in sadness, worry, or doubt. Tune out the negative thoughts or the comments and let go of everything that's holding you back. Place that unfair situation in God's hands. And with positive expectation, because remember, you're trusting in God, and with joy and purpose, proceed onward towards success, because you will have success. One of the scriptures I use in my the little memory verse Bibles and the high school graduation Bibles is Psalm 37:5. Commit your way to the Lord, trust him, and he will act. Is God acting in your life? Are you trusting in God? Just a search of our own personal lives, I guess. You can overcome what you face and emerge triumphant. The Bible is so full of underdogs who rise to the surface in triumph. I mean, it's just wonderful to see all these victories that God brings. God is there, right there beside you, and he can do extraordinary things with your life if, and this is a big thing, if you let him. You don't let him, he can't do him nothing. And some of us don't let him sometimes. I'm guilty of that. Pride will get in the way of something, and I know what I'm doing. Yeah. Then I fall to my knees when I realize I didn't know what I was doing. Think back to a time in your life when you thought anything is possible. You might have been a lot younger. We tend to think that way when we're young, before the world has beaten us up so much. I've got good news for you. It's still true. Anything is possible with God. Anything is possible with God. It's just a matter of time and attitude. A day will come when your situation will come together for you. Can you trust God until that day? Could this be the day or the week that you're going to receive that miracle you've been praying about? Can you be patient? Can you maintain your trusting attitude with him until that miracle comes? If you wait on God, and it sometimes takes a lot of patience on our part, but he'll give us that too. But if you can get to the point in your life where you wait on God, I guarantee you that his timing is perfect. You know, so many times in my life I forge ahead impatient, only to find that, gee, if I would have just waited, you know, it wouldn't have cost so much heartache, it wouldn't have cost so much money, wouldn't have, you know, the story could go on and on. So with all of this being said, I've really been up on this lately. With all of this being said, tomorrow morning I want you to wake up and declare the words of Psalm 118:24. When you wake up, this is the day that the Lord has made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. You start your day that way, I guarantee you're going to have a great day. If you don't, well, you might have a ho-hum day. I don't know. When you acknowledge God and place your trust in God, he will make a way for you to get through. He knows you. You have to trust him. Here's a scripture for us to think about. Psalm 20, verses 5 through 7. We will shout for joy when you are victorious, and we will lift our banners in the name of God. May the Lord grant all of your requests. Now I know that the Lord saves the anointed. He answers him from his holy heaven with a saving power of his right hand. Some trust in chariots, some trust in horses, but we trust in the name of the Lord our God. Psalm 20. Do we really trust in his name? I hope we can all say amen to that. I really do. I began this talk mentioning God's dependable source of food in the desert, manna. This sustained their lives. Remember, they were together only enough for their daily needs. Well, in Matthew 6, verses 9 through 13, the same principle is at work. I feel like I need to give Jerry Rushford an applause here. You know, when he spoke to us over a year ago now, he did the Lord's Prayer, and he brought this thing alive for me. And, I mean, I've been a Christian for 35, I don't know how long, a long time. I thought I'd read it all. I hadn't. Anyway, listen to this. It says, in this manner, therefore, pray, our Father in heaven, hallowed be thy name. Your kingdom come, your will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors. And do not lead us into temptation, but deliver us from the evil one. For yours is the kingdom and the power and the glory forever. Amen. Verse 11 there, give us this day our daily bread. That's our instructions to ask God for the resources we need for one day. One day. Each day. We're to trust God and to depend on God, but we must never doubt God. See, doubting and trust, they don't live together. If you want your prayers to go nowhere, let doubt creep into your prayer life. Trust and doubt cannot abide together. Kind of reminds me of, I don't know where this is at, this just came to me. When there was a man who came to Jesus to heal his child, I can't remember. And he says, if you can. And Jesus says, if I can. Anyway, he ends up saying, I believe, help me in my unbelief. You know, sometimes we Christians need to pray that prayer a little bit, because the world creeps into our lives and, you know, it's prying away at the foundations of our beliefs. And if we're not cautious, that can happen to us. Anyway, we most definitely live in times of trouble and uncertainty. So I would encourage you to learn to thank God in the midst of all of it. Pray with your family as your unit. Grab hands and pray out loud. And even if you think you don't know the words to pray, remember this, the Holy Spirit will intercede for you. And if your children see you in a moment of weakness, so what? If they see you turn immediately to God in belief and prayer, that's a pretty good example. You know, I used to look up to my mom like she was some sort of, I don't know, Catholic icon or something. You know, she was like a porcelain perfection as far as my Christian image of her. Boy, when she fell like a rock and broke into 1,000 pieces. And all of a sudden, I was left wondering about my beliefs. Yeah, unfortunately, both of us came around, but you can't do that with people, you know? Anyway, let your kids know that you believe in Jesus at home also, not just in church. Invite him into your home, into your decisions. Show your children that he is the head of your household. He longs to be given this place in your family and in your hearts. Because if you do this, it will glorify him. He wants to be in that number one place in your life. What better way to demonstrate to God that we mean business with him than to pray without ceasing? That will glorify him. Okay, here was my Big Bang ending, but I don't know that anybody here really warrants this. So, but if you do, do you know what awaits you when you die? You can have the assurance from God that heaven will be your home. Either Jesus died for your sins or he didn't. Pure and simple. Are you prepared to stand before God on the judgment day and tell him that I didn't need the shed blood of Jesus in my life? Ooh, what a shaky place that would be. We plead with you. I plead with you. If you're in a shaky place in your life, get right with God. It may be here in this place at this time, or it may be some other time. I don't know. But God knows, and you know. For us to be Christians, we need to go and be where God is. And that reminded me of Matthew 25, verses 31 through 46. Jesus is applauding those who saw that he was a stranger and invited him in. Those who saw that he was naked and clothed him. Those who saw that he was sick and in prison and visited him. And these folks come back and say, wait a minute, when did we do any of this? And he says, when you did it to the least of these. I can imagine him kind of, you know, look around you. I can imagine him here in Ventura. This is Jesus. Imagine this. He's standing up on the cross. And he says, when you did it to the least of these, looking over Ventura, you did it to me. I don't know what's going on in my heart sometimes, but I just weep over this city sometimes. And I grew up in Oxnard, tried to get out of California several times. Look where I'm at, you know. It's not that I love this place, I just seem to keep coming back here for some reason. But, and there's things going on in my head that I'd like to do this, I'd like to do that, and all of this. I'm retired. Hey, I don't think any of them are what God wants me to do. I think he's put me right where he wants me. So if we're going to reach out to those folks in Ventura, how are we going to do this? You know, Jesus spoke about this, I'll call it a spirit of religion. You know, they had a spirit about them of being religious, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, and Jesus confronted them with that and was pretty blunt, okay? Well, we can't be like them. If we're supposed to go out and treat others like God wants them to be treated, like Jesus would treat them, then true Christians are not legalistic. True Christians are not self-righteous or condescending or arrogant or judgmental. True brothers and sisters in Christ will receive you in his grace, in peace, and love, just as you are. Period. You know, what a wonderful thought to think that. I mean, even if you have tattoos and long hair, even if you're an old fat guy with a long beard, Jesus loves you, you know? When you obey Christ, it doesn't matter where you've been or what you've done. Jesus died for you regardless of your sins. When you repent and submit to the waters of baptism, you are forgiven. I was going to say end of story, but that's not the end of story. That's the beginning of the story. Anyway, this was designed to encourage people and help us to keep on doing what we're already doing. But, you know, we find in God's word that the fields are ripe and there aren't many workers. And, I mean, this building... Well, we were down on attendance this morning, but there's not as many people here tonight as there was this morning. Shucks. I wish that wasn't so. But my grandma, bless her heart, my grandma used to tell me, "Boy, don't put a wishbone where your backbone should be." That's a good one to hold on to, folks, because you've got to stand up for something. And this is eternal. And we've got to stand up for it. There are lives at stake out there. If we can help you in any way tonight, anyway, doesn't matter. You come up here and we'll take care of it as we sing this song.